Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah. Woo! Let's go!
Y'all need to sit back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
And we ride and I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Chef, Chef. Sports City, Chef, Chef. Yeah. Cabin. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.
Oh, yes, yes, that theme song hit, and I feel like I got to loosen up the tie and take off the blazer and all that stuff like Mr. Timeless himself does, but I don't do that. I just rip it off and show the mask, raw flesh, and all that. It's the Callers Cookout. We're live here on a nice, beautiful, hot. I don't know where y'all at, but it's super hot where I'm at. It's up here in Connecticut, a hot Wednesday hump day. But we in the building, we doing our thing. The call-in number 929-477-2759 with you for the next hour plus, maybe a little longer, depending if the villain's got to talk by himself. You know, the villain's not – he likes to hear himself, but he don't like to really talk all that much. But we here. We got the Callers Cookout. TP Timeless is on a much-needed vacation. Shout-out to the big homie. Hope you're feeling good. I know he's doing good out in Vegas. I'm sure he's hitting the slots and hitting the tables hard. So his home away from home. So while the hero's away, the villain will play. So I actually do have one of our co-hosts in the building calling in out of the 703, our resident Steelers fan, Mr. Sirius, Aaron Simmons himself. Sirius, what's going on, my brother?
Yo, man, what's going on? I'm going to do this for the homie one time. I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie. You know what? Stuck inside the kitchen. Serious is a lie. Yeah, I'm ripping that from him, man. Word is born, man. Shout out to the homie Timeless, man. Hope you have a good time on vacation, man. As you know, we're sitting holding it down like we always do, man. What's up, villain? How we doing today, baby?
I'm good, man. Listen, brace yourselves for the main event. Y'all impatiently waiting. It's like an AIDS test. What's the result?
What's
not
the result?
Positive.
Not
who's
positive.
The best?
Hey, no, don't open that up. Don't open that up.
I know. But, yeah, I had to do it, you know, because I know TP Timeless, he loves Jay. I love Jay, too, but I'm a Nas guy, man. You know, I love Nas. So, Nasty Nas. Nostradamus, you know, Nas Escobar, Godson, whatever he calls himself, it's all good. King's Disease too, actually. I listen to that pretty frequently right now. That's the
yeah, that's on fire.
I wish Lauryn Hill was around more often. That's all I could say, man. Like, I listened to that verse and I had a tear in my eye. Like, it's just like you understand why. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is regarded as one of the greatest albums, not hip hop albums, one of the greatest albums ever released.
Yeah.
And just listen to that verse and you're like, damn, I wish you would have just stay around, man. Just, I don't care if you're late, just be around. You know what I mean? Like, oh man, but that album's fire, man. That album's bananas. Let's get into some sports talk because I can sit here and talk hip hop all day, and then some. But you know, I want to talk about a little bit of NBA, and then we can get into some other stuff, you know, football and what have you. Free agency is near the tail end of its, like, you know, hot stove season, I guess you can call it. Summer League is popping off. I definitely want to get your opinion on Summer League, obviously. But before that, I mean, one guy secured the bag, one guy fumbled the bag. So I don't know which one you want to start with first, Sirius, because you know where we're going with this one. You know what I mean?
You know what? Let's do this, man. Shout out to Luka, man. Like, for me, as a Houston Rocket fan, you know, I do not like Dallas Mavericks. I never have. I mean, even though their owner is from Pittsburgh, I just really never really liked him that much. Honestly, man, what Luka Doncic is doing, what he's been able to accomplish in his short career, even on the international stage, it's nothing short of spectacular. So for him to secure the bag like that is something, you know, something to be commended. You know, I hate that I like this guy. I hate that I like this guy. You know, for me, it's something that it just makes my blood boil. So it's almost like, you know, me liking the Utah Jazz, anything out of Utah. As a Rockets fan, you just can't do that. So with that being said, salute to him. I wish him nothing but continued success, you know, good health. You know, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I mean, he's one of these up-and-coming guys who, you know, doesn't talk as much trash, which I hate about him. I wish he would just get more ruthless with his trash talk. You know, maybe he talks more trash in overseas, but for me, he's a stone-cold killer, man. So shout out to Luka for doing what he had to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's one of the knocks on him. There's not a lot of knocks on him. You know, a lot of people say that Luka Doncic is going to be the face of the NBA in not too long. But, you know, he talks too much, talks to officials. But, I mean, but first of all, we got to give props, man. You know, he secured the bag. A lot of rookie max extensions really kind of lend you to about the 150, 160, maybe 170 range. He secured the bag to the tune of 207. $207 million for 5 years. Luka Doncic signed that max extension 2 days ago with the Dallas Mavericks. He said there was never any question that he wasn't going to sign that. Of course not. Get the bag. You can always get traded. Get the bag, right? Secure the bag. So he's eligible for more money because in his first 2 years, he actually was All-NBA twice. So he gets a little bit of higher pay scale. So that's the most that they could get him, and he did that. I mean, everything about that is good. He's the face of the NBA. He's an exciting European player. You know, his numbers in the playoffs were absolutely ridiculous. 30-plus points, 10 rebounds, like 9 assists. You know, he put in work, and he definitely is deserving of that contract. But I definitely want to flip it on its ear a little bit, Sirius. I mean, with all the good that's come out of Luka getting the bag and being a Maverick and committing to the Dallas Mavericks, I feel like there's a lot of problems in Big D. I mean, you're talking about a team that had probably the third most cap space this offseason, didn't land a big player. Luka Doncic, just like we alluded to, talks a lot, talks to the officials a lot. Needs to curb that. That's a demerit on him. I mean, we're talking about a guy that, you know, the GM's gone, the coach is gone, their other superstar, I guess you could say superstar because Luka is a megastar, if not higher than that. Their other star player, Kristaps Porzingis, reportedly isn't happy. You know, being the second fiddle, wants to be the man, and you know, we don't know how long he's going to be there. I mean, there's a lot of problems in Dallas, you know, that might hinder them to get to where they need to be, and that's winning a championship, because Luka signing that max deal, he needs to win a chip. So, I mean, Sirius, I'll ask you, I mean, is it all roses in Dallas, and what do they need to do to turn this whole this whole kind of franchise and everything, not that they need to turn it around because they went to the playoffs, but 2 years for Luka, first round exits. What do they need to do to get him to where he needs to be as an MVP and getting the chip?
They need to do a couple of things. First and foremost, they need to surround him with viable role players that can elevate their game and take some of the pressure off of him. One of the major things that we saw over this playoff run was, you know, when Giannis, you know, needed help, his role players really stepped up in critical moments. Like Jrue Holiday put on a Batman cape and went to work for a game or two. You know, Chris Middleton, we here on this network dragged him for his Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde activity.
Yes.
He seemed to have flipped the switch and was able to take some of the pressure off. You know, you got cats coming off the bench, you know, that were able to provide meaningful minutes. We also, you know, during this whole championship run, forgot that this dude damn near, hurt his leg to the point where we didn't even know he was going to play. And they didn't win the game, you know what I'm saying, against Atlanta. So, you know, you need to surround Luka with pieces that not only compliment him, but also are able to go and get that. I do like Tim Hardaway Jr. re-signing there. I think he's a guy who can go get his. Again, you know him pretty well. But other than that, I'm not too sure what else they're going to do besides going out and getting, you know, another big name. The issue that we've run into, Dylan, is that other than Luka, you know, no big name was wanting to sign there. Hell, you know, Kemba Walker, and I'm sure we'll get to him in a minute, you know, found his way to New York. You know, is he a big name? He once was. I think that, you know, in the right system with the right type of coaching, with everything, that his career can get resurrected if he's able to stay healthy. You know, somebody like that, you know, somebody who has something to prove. Hell, you know, Isaiah Thomas, who is trying to make a comeback, you know, you bring him alongside Luka Doncic and see what may happen there. You know, one of the biggest things that I did like that they've done this offseason was they went out and got the band back together. You know, Jason Kidd back in the building. You know, everybody from that runs back, and I think J.J. Barea is on staff. Dirk Nowitzki, you know, in the front office. I think they just called Jerry Stackhouse to be the cowboy. I mean, everybody who was in that run, you know what I'm saying, is back in the building. And so if they're able to make some noise in the Western Conference, you know, Jason Kidd, in my opinion, is a decent coach. I think Jason Kidd is directly responsible for Giannis becoming who he is today. So he has shown the ability to, in my opinion, work with superstars and get them to play up to their potential. So if Jason Kidd is able to go in there and do that this year, albeit I don't expect them to win a chip this year. I don't expect them to win a chip, you know, next year. But if they're able to put pieces together and attract a big name, maybe they draft somebody who hits, I think they are able to really, you know, get Luka to where he wants to go, you know. I'm sure TP's in Vegas now, and, you know, I'll be out there at the end of the year, and, you know, the odds on Luka winning the MVP, he's always up for nomination. His name is always mentioned because he's that electric. So we'll see what happens with it. But I think they need to surround him with some pieces that, you know, will complement his game and elevate his playoff readiness.
Yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed that Dallas didn't land anybody. Now, granted, the free agency market was good, but it wasn't as good as it had been in the last couple of years. We're not talking about like Durant and Kyrie Irving on the market. We're talking about, you know, Leonard with a bum knee, Chris Paul up in age, and then Kyle Lowry, and then the drop off is pretty precipitous after that. But I mean, we're talking about a really good Dallas Mavericks owner and Mark Cuban. We're talking about no state income tax in Texas. You know, you have a star in Luka Doncic. Why can't you get somebody to come in there? Why doesn't KP want to be there if he wants to be there at all? Like, there's a lot of I mean, there's a – Luka Doncic ran people out of town. I don't care what anybody says. In my opinion, the coach, the GM, you know, KP might be next. He's run people out of there with his attitude, and now he's got a point guard-friendly coach in there in Jason Kidd. That's all Luka Doncic. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. Jason Kidd's here for Luka Doncic. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm not impressed at what they did at all. I liked bringing in Tim Hardaway. I like bringing in Reggie Bullock, a 3-and-D guy. But you need another star around Luka. You just, you know, put a lot of money into him. You need a star around him. And a dependable star. The best ability is availability, and that's not something that KP has right now. So, I mean, we do have a caller in queue. I'm going to bring them in and definitely get their opinion, but I feel like Dallas needed to do more, and they didn't. But now it's up to the trade market. You know what I mean? So I'm going to bring in a caller from the 914, calling in from the Chen Dynasty. Alan Chen, what's up, brother?
What's up, Barry? What's up, Sirius? How's everyone doing?
I know I've been MIA.
Is something he's been to me, but
you're playing
you know,
the daddy role. You're playing the daddy role, but you know,
exactly,
hard to make that time.
I have a feeling since Kemba Walker was officially a Knick today. You guys want to talk about it, so I had to jump on the show.
Yeah, you already know. Now, that's coming up soon. Don't worry. Orange and blue skies, baby. Woo! Orange and blue skies. But we'll get to that. We had the bigger news is Luka securing the bag. 5 years, $207 million rookie max extension, supermax. Probably the highest supermax. Yeah, the highest supermax any rookie has ever gotten. Clearly. So I'd love to get your opinion on it, but more so, I mean, you know, what now? You know what I mean? What does Dallas need to do to secure a championship and a winning team around Luka Doncic?
So, I agree a lot of points you guys made about Luka running the GM, the coach out of town. So I think having a new face, Jason Kidd, I think first thing Jason Kidd needs to do is, like, he needed to go coddle KP and take him out to dinner or some kind of vacation, just wine and dine him and just, you know, make sure his feelings are okay. Cause I feel like KP's like really hurt, and you know,
really,
and if they can't get him,
really hurt.
He's a, like, honestly, when KP was a Knick, I'm sure Barry, everyone thought he was the next one. And I was like, he got the goods, but I don't know if he's going to be the next one, but he put up like 23 points in a game for the Knicks. And I still think he can do that. I think he can. I think what Jason Kidd needs to do is, in the new front office, they need to, I know Luka thinks he's the man, but they need to tone him down a bit. He don't need to be the focal point of the offense every single play. So I think they got to, you know, resurrect KP, figure out that. And if they can't resurrect him, trade him before the season starts. I think you could get something good out of KP. You might want to wait till the season when he plays a little better. But they need to, I don't know, they got to start with, you know, getting KP back, building that relationship with KP and Luka. I don't know if they get along or maybe they don't get along. Maybe KP's jealous, but they need to figure that out. I think KP could be a big piece. I'm thinking – one move they're going to make is I think they're going to go sign Luka's Slovenian teammate, Goran Dragic. I think that'd be a good move for them because that will give Dallas another ball handler, someone to, you know, so Luka's not bring up the ball all the time, you know, a ball handler, someone to, you know, take the pressure off Luka. But yeah, they definitely need another move because, I mean, say they get Goran, they got KP, Bullock, Hardaway. I mean, they'll compete because it's Luka, but I don't know if they get past, like, a number five seed. But, I mean, congrats to Luka, the super bag. He got the super max. I was watching him in the Olympics. Like, Slovenia never even played in the Olympics in basketball, and he had them playing for the bronze medal. They lost, but he had them playing for the bronze medal. So, you know, that just shows how great he is. But, yeah, I think they start with KP. And then see if they can make a trade for Dragic, and then hope for the best. Just play, like start the season, play well. Maybe they can make a move. Another player to keep an eye on is Moses Brown. Moses Brown showed some glimpses of talent when he was at OKC. So now he has a better talent around him because OKC just had a bunch of college players pretty much. So Moses Brown, he's going to get a lot of pick and rolls and alley oops. So I remember he was putting up good stats for OKC. So he's another player to keep an eye on. So if their starting five is Moses Brown, KP, Luka, Tim Hardaway, and Goran Dragic, like that's a pretty formidable starting five to compete in the West. They just got to figure out their bench and the rest of the players.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of bringing in Dragic because I don't think he's going to stay. I don't think he's going to stay much longer in Toronto. They're going to try to figure out a way to move that contract. I don't think that's what they want to do. I'm hearing, Siakam might not be there much longer either. So who knows? That's purely rumor, but they might be looking to move on from him. I don't know why, but I'm thinking like that's one option. I think they need to throw their hat into the Ben Simmons mix, to be honest with you. I think, a guy like that, you don't have to score. I think Luka can do that, but, Ben Simmons isn't a scorer, but he does everything else really well. I think that could possibly be a help to them. But, yeah, they need another star. And I don't know if KP wants to be there, to be honest with you. I don't know where his head's at. I don't know if he actually is jealous or not. If he wants to be the man on somebody's team. I don't think you can rely on him to be the man. I don't think he's deserved that kind of, given that kind of power, like to be the man on a team. Like he's never around. I think the best season he had with the Knicks was 21-9. But then he played like half the season. It's like, you can't build a championship around that. So I don't know what Dallas does. I think they have to go into the trade market. I don't think Lillard is an option. But there'll be a disgruntled scar that, maybe halfway through the year that might force their way out. Maybe Carl Anthony Towns or something like that. But who knows? Like, I just feel like they definitely need to do something, and they need to do something, to really make this team catch up to what the Lakers and what the Nuggets and the Suns are. So, but going from the super max to super messed up and super, overplayed your hand, we're talking about a guy that had a deuce and a three and said, double down. You know what I mean? And then got a two and then, automatically lost at the table. Shout out to TP. Dennis Schroeder. Moment of silence for Dennis Schroeder and his $84 million that he passed up. Hold on a sec. Okay. So, he signs a one-year deal to go to the Celtics. 1 year at the mid-level exception, I think the taxpayer exception at $5.9 million. That's a long way from $84 million. He was trying to force his way to get the full mid-level exception of $9 million, and then a little while later, it was announced that he signed for $5.9 million. So, epic fail. Boston gets a good player, a good player to back up Marcus Smart. But the real problem is Dennis Schroeder overplayed his hand and basically fumbled the bag, not even at the 1 yard line. I don't even think he got out of the huddle before he fumbled that one. So come to you, Sirius. Dennis Schroeder not securing the bag. Is this a cautionary tale a la Noel? Or listen, the chef said it, and I was one of the guys who said, he might actually get that $120 million, and then a week later, it's like that you get that gift. Moments later, 1 year, $5.9 million. So, serious. I mean, talk to me about Dennis Schroeder, man. Talk to me.
I mean, honestly, man, I wish I could. Like this situation has me laughing.
And, like, one of those bust a gut where you damn near fart your pants left because he had $83 million deal. Like, I was talking to you, earlier. This is a classic example of when keeping it real goes wrong. Shout out to Dave Chappelle, you know.
Shout out.
Like, oh, my God. Like, I don't understand. First and foremost, we sat here on this network and said, if anybody pays this man $100 million, they are smoking stupid amount of narcotics. As my man Eazy-E said, he always says, sniffing glue. You know what I'm saying? So for him to actually agree to a one-year $5.9 million deal literally has to be the most disrespectful, humbleliest thing that he has to do. Now, granted, that's still $5.9 mil. I ain't got that. Mm. So, I mean, I'm sitting here, you know, throwing shade. But, bro, you had 87, 84, whatever it was. I forget what exactly it was. But you literally played yourself. You played yourself, you know. And unfortunately, I don't even feel sad for you. I don't even feel sorry for you.
You got to feel a little bit sad.
Because see, what ended up happening was, so if he signs that deal, the Los Angeles Lakers don't make the move, in my opinion, to go get Russell Westbrook, subsequently starting, you know, the NBA version of the Monstars in Los Angeles.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
no, he would have been traded. He would have been. They would have traded.
I'm sure
him.
He may have been. I'm sure he may have been, but he would have still got his 80 some odd mil.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You know
that money's guaranteed, Daddy.
Yeah, but now you only got 5.9 on a Boston Celtics team that looks like they are about to hit the button on a rebuild.
Retool.
So
because they got two stars. They got two stars.
Well,
but they're
cap
strapped. Boston's cap strapped. So, like, to your point, they could start stripping some players down.
See, and here's my thing. Like, Jason Tatum is decent, but here's the thing with Jaylen Brown. In my opinion, Jaylen Brown is only as good as the wingman he's running with is carrying him. I don't think that Jaylen Brown is a quote-unquote star. I think he's good. But everybody else around him, like, I just don't think the Boston Celtics are constructed well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, Marcus Smart, you know, he's a defensive guy. He's a pest. But he's not going to go out and get you, you know, a ton of buckets. He's just going to strap up and play D. So honestly, and again, that bench is something that needs to be desired. They went out pissed out the shooter last year who came in and started knocking down some shots, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I think the Boston Celtics are in trouble. I don't see
them getting to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I see them as a play-in team. They're like the 7-8 seed that's playing for their lives to get into the playoffs. I think Jaylen Brown is an elite number three option. And that's no disrespect to him. I think they need another guy in there. If they had like another scorer, like, you know, like a, not like Luka Doncic, but like a scoring guard, point guard, that would be probably the best bet. Maybe a scoring inside. I think they should have went after Nokia, the center from the Magic that's on the Bulls. I always say his name wrong, but they should have tried hard to get him because that would have balanced everything out. Vucevic. I always say his name wrong. I apologize if I.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the guy I think they should have went after in Boston, and then I think they ended up with Enes Kanter. Yikes! I don't know which one's worse. But yeah, listen, I do feel bad for Dennis Schroeder because you know he did overplay his hand. I think he looked at the market. He looked at the guards that was available. He had one good year in OKC as a starter, and then he made the demands, like, I'm not a bench player anymore, I'm a starter, blah, 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 and didn't deliver. on the Lakers, and, you know, he hurt his own value. He bet on himself and he lost. I mean, I look at, like, Julius Randle bet on himself with a three-year deal and won and got his max extension. Schroeder, he bet on himself and lost. And I think it's unfortunate, but I think, you know, I don't think he'll ever see that $84 million again in his career, cumulatively. Like, you know, like, throughout the rest of his career, I don't think he'll ever make that $80 million back. He might make maybe another 30 or 40, but never that 84. So it's a cautionary tale. If you bet on yourself, you better know what you're talking about, and you better be getting the right advice. Mr. Chen, Alan, my brother, I mean, talk to me about the main man in Boston, Dennis Schroeder, the great guiding light that's going to lead the Celtics back to prominence, baby.
So I'm glad he accepted that 5.9. I read that he was trying to get more, but I'm like, he needed to just sign that really quick. So he has a chance to prove himself. I know everyone's laughing at him right now, but he's probably, I mean, it depends how their lineup is. He could start, or he could be the backup to Marcus Smart. But I do feel bad for him because he pretty much went from, he had 84 guaranteed in L.A., you know, so we got the weather, L.A., super team. And then now he's possibly a backup to Marcus Smart, and he's living in Massachusetts. So I do feel bad for him. But, you know, a lot of players do it. They bet on themselves. I'm not sure who was in his ear. I'm not sure who his agent was or is, but I think whoever his agent is, he probably can't pay him anymore.
Yeah, was.
But his agent
definitely
was.
Definitely
agent,
was,
so.
Because he's – yeah, I don't think he'll have a job much longer.
And I'm just not sure what was going through Schroeder's head, because I feel like he's, like, borderline. Like, he's not, like a definite starter on every team in the NBA. He's like a borderline, like six man backup point guard. So I don't know what he was thinking, man. I really don't, because I would imagine the free agent market was Lonzo Ball, Kyle Lowry at the top. So Lonzo got 85, and Kyle Lowry got 90. So I'm like, wait, where's Schroeder thinking, like, in terms of, like, the totem pole rankings? Like, where? So something wrong. It was something off of him and his team. I'm going to blame his team and the people around him, because, like, if I'm one of Dennis Schroeder's boys, I'm going to, like, bro, take that $84 million. To be honest, like, you just a backup, or you just a sixth man. But whoever's in his ear, like, they're not going to be around him anymore, because he don't got that much money spread around. So, but good for him. He still has $5.9 million. He has a lot to prove him. So he's going to get a decent bag, you know, after the season. He'll probably sign for, like, 3 years, $40 million. That's, you know, it won't be the 84, but he'll get another bag after the season, especially if he plays well for the Celtics. I know you guys mentioned the Celtics on a rebuild, retool. I think they'd be okay. You know, the East is the East. They got Josh Richardson. I'm not saying he's, you know, a killer and he's going to make a difference, but if you look at it, they got a pretty decent team. They got Marcus Smart, Josh Richardson. You've got Tatum and Brown. Al Horford, I believe, is still on the team, right? Or is he? Yeah, he's on the team.
Yeah, I think so.
Or did he get traded? No, I think he's still on the team.
Well,
and then he's on the squad, right? OKC traded him.
I think he's on the Celtics. Yeah.
And I think they still have Jabari Parker, so they have a decent chance in the Eastern Conference. And but it's just interesting, because I'm looking at if you look at the Celtics backcourt last year towards the end of the season, it's the Knicks backcourt. So pretty much, I know Brad Stevens went from coach to GM. I'm not sure how his first few weeks of being the GM went, because he pretty much, I don't know the breakdown, but it was pretty much like, he traded this person, and pretty much the Knicks just got his backcourt. So I just thought,
yeah, basically, I just think Boston is going to be fighting to get into that playoff spot. I think Dennis is in a good situation. You know, all jokes aside, I think that he doesn't have to start. I don't think he's a starter. I think he's a sixth man. I think he can parlay that into a solid contract. So I think he can go back into a comfortable role, 25 minutes a night, coming off the bench, scoring against the second unit, and then get his numbers back up to where they need to be, and then maybe get that $10-15 million a year. You're not getting 20 plus million. That's not happening. You had 21 million in the bank. I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe you'll get 10 to 12 on a good, maybe a good three, maybe a good like 3 year, $33 million deal is what I'm thinking he can get if he has a really good season. And that's the best he can do. you know, I think if he was going to take a mid-level exception, maybe he could have went to like, I don't know, like Brooklyn or somewhere, you know, Philly, but you know, whatever, maybe that was the only team that really wanted him. So, you know,
so
listen,
let me ask you guys,
it's all about,
let me ask you guys this real quick, because see we're sitting here speaking as though Dennis Schroeder is going to humble himself, accept a role, and secure a bag. Everything that we've learned about Dennis Schroeder in the past calendar year plus has been anything but that. You know what I'm saying? You come into a championship team declaring you are the starting point guard. Then you, you know, don't take the, you know, the 80-some-odd mil that you were being given by the former championship squad, and you pretty much give them the bird. Then you declare that you want $100 million, this, that, and the third. Free agency comes and goes, and you're sitting there, you know, being made into a meme on social media talking about why don't teams want me. Then you go sign with the Boston Celtics, where arguably you're going to be coming off the bench anyway, backing up a guy who, in my opinion, I think you're better than, and I think your skill set proves that you're better than Marcus Smart. So do you honestly want to sit here and try to convince me and the people that he's just going to humble himself up, accept his role, and go secure a bag next year?
He has no choice, in my opinion. He has no choice but to. He has no choice but to have this chip on his shoulder, take all the memes and all the jokes, and turn this into a good season. He needs to come in thinking he LeBron. Honestly, you know, everybody that's in the NBA thinks they're great. That's what made them NBA players. There's plenty of players that have turned down contracts, and like I think Barry, you mentioned Noel. He turned down. I just looked it up. He turned down 4 years, $70 million from the Mavericks.
Yeah.
And he bet on himself, signed a 1 year contract. I mean, he got the bag with the Knicks, but it wasn't 4 years, 70. And you know, there's always, you know, John Collins turned down 90. People thought he was crazy. He got 125. So. You know, you guys, it's going to happen with these players. Some are going to be like, yeah, I deserve this. I mean, I think it was just, I think he played his hand too high, though. Like, I get why he went high, because he was trying to get, you know, I don't know what he was thinking, though. He already got 84.
He looked at the market.
So,
I
don't know.
Alan, like, prices were going up, right, Sirius? Like, the going rate, the cap space was growing. He thought that, you know, listen, 120 million, 110, like 120 million over 4 years, maybe 5 years, I can get that 20 million stretched out over 5 years and get that bag. But he thought he could do that as a starter. That's not his game. You had one good year as a starter. Every other year, you were about 13 point a game player off the bench.
Right.
So, I mean, scoring in OKC. Right, scoring in OKC, no offense to OKC, shout out to the big homie TP, where they weren't really trying to win games like that other than the fact that they had Chris Paul. Chris Paul took a lot of pressure off of Dennis Schroeder, not even having to run the offense and be the guy. And he had a good year with Chris Paul. Now you take that away, and you're the guy that has to get everybody involved and then get your points. It didn't work in L.A. It wasn't a fit. So he overplayed his hand. You brought up a great point, Alan. John, you know, Collins said, no, I'm worth more. I'm going to bet on myself. But he didn't try to stretch himself and be something he's not. He was who he was in this offense with the guy like Trae Young and made it work and had a brilliant playoff and then secured the bag because he played within himself, within the offense.
There's the thing. He had a decent playoff run. He played well when the lights were bright. When his number was called, he played well. Dennis Schroeder has yet to do that. Therefore, I'm confused as to what made him think that he was going to get that type of coin, especially from a team who is about playoffs. Like, you're in L.A., you know what I'm saying? It's championship or bust every year. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, like I don't understand what in the world possessed him to think that.
I think this guy's got NBA contracts that got – I'm sorry, Alan. I mean, this guy's that got NBA contracts that we didn't think deserved that money, so why wouldn't he think the same way? It's just to my point and to what Alan alluded to, he didn't play his hand right. He tried to win a poker hand with an ace ten and really needed an ace queen, ace king. You know what I'm saying? Like you tried to play more than what you could do. If he would have done his role as a sixth man, he would have got $20 million this year. I don't doubt that. He would now it might not have been over 5-6 years, but he might have got it over 3-4 years. That's not who he was trying to be. He was trying to be that starter that was Chris Paul. That ain't working for you. Go ahead, Alan.
So I'm really trying to side with Dennis Schroeder right now. So I'm thinking it was him and his team. They're looking at the market, right? So, yes, he turned down four years, 84. So that $21 million per year. So I was reading that if Lonzo Ball was going to become a free agent, the Knicks were. This is just rumors. That they were willing to go 4 years, 100 for him. So that's $25 million per year. We're going per year. So Dennis Schroeder's probably like, I'm looking at Dennis Schroeder's stats last year in 61 games in 32 minutes. He averaged 15 points and 5.8 assists, 6 assists. You compare that to Lonzo. Lonzo averaged 14.6 and 5.7 assists. So if people thinking Lonzo going to get a 100 over 4 years, that's $25 million. So it sounds a little greedy to go like turn down 84 to try to get 100, but like I mean, you know, why not? You know, I guess that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also thinking Kyle Lowry. I want to ask you guys this. So Kyle Lowry, 3 years, $90 million at his age, and they had to give up Precious Achiuwa and someone else. Oh, Goran Dragic. I looked at it like, wait. Why did Miami do that?
because he's a natural
Schroeder, fit. But back to Schroeder, I think it started with Lonzo. He thought he was Lonzo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it started with that. It just completely backfired. But I think that's where it's coming from. He's like, okay, I got 21. Why don't I go for 25? It's a little greedy, but I think that's where it was coming from. Whatever. He's never going to see that money again unless he has I think he's going to have a good season, but I don't think he's going to ever see $84 million contract again.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a 14-point-a-game scorer for his career, but the numbers that really kind of bother you is the fact that he's a guard that shoots 33% from three and about, 43% from the field. That ain't going to cut the mustard. So, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, off the bench, you can live with that. But as a starter, that's not enough, and especially in L.A., where everything is way more important. It just didn't work. So, I hope he turns it around. I hope he makes the most out of this year. I think he can – I think he's in a good situation. And, I think he can make the best of it. So that's what he has to do. And like you said, he has no choice because there ain't nowhere else for him to go. You're going to be trying to be like IT, trying to get back in the league if you keep it up. You know what I mean? And I hope IT, the rumors is the Lakers are looking into him. I hope Isaiah Thomas gets back. You know, he put up buckets in that pro-am game. I think it was like 81 points or something like that. So I hope he gets back in the league and the Lakers, somebody's going to take a shot on him. I hope the Lakers do. That would be a nice get for them. But so we'll see what happens.
What's he going to do in L.A., though? I'm just curious if he plans with L.A.
Yeah, come off the bench and play.
Russell Westbrook.
He's going to be like the fifth guard, though.
That's fine.
He got Russ. His backup is Kendrick Nunn. And then they're trying to groom
second
that kid, Tucker.
Second unit scoring with – I would take him off the second unit with scoring with Carmelo any day. I think those two playing off each other would work. That's just me. I don't know about you, serious. I think –
Kendrick Nunn's the backup
right
now.
That's fine. That's fine. Listen, you know, injuries happen. It's a long season. He could get hot. As long as you got him in the fold and you can do something with him, you know, I don't think it's a terrible idea. I really don't.
Okay. No, that's a good point.
Oh, wow. I just saw this. They got
– what's that?
What in the world?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Lakers roster. I forgot they picked up Kendrick Nunn.
Yes, Kendrick Nunn took
less
money.
So the thing about
money,
Kendrick Nunn
–
So I have a pet peeve with Kendrick Nunn, what he did. Everyone's trying to max out contract. He's 26, taking less money. So, like, if I'm a team going forward after this contract, I'd be like, okay, you're 26 in the prime of your career, and you took less money to, like, be the backup to Russell Westbrook. Like, that's, like, so against what players are doing right now. So, like, when his two-year contract is up, if I'm a team, I'm be like, okay, take less money like you did. So I didn't get that. I'm like, I mean, he's in the prime of his career, you know, and he took less money.
That's the only thing I didn't like. That's your point, Alan. I agree with you. Like, at 26 years old, he shouldn't be taking $5 million a year. Even if you want to win, I get that you want to win. But, I mean, he could have easily got $10 to $12 million, and that's what he's going to try to look for 2 years later. Hopefully he gets it. Maybe somebody will give it to him, but – it's a good move to go to a team that you can win with, but it's a bad move from a financial standpoint. What do you think, Sirius?
He's making Dennis Schroeder money. 2 years, right. $10 million contract.
is that what it's called now? Dennis Schroeder money. You got that
Dennis
Schroeder
money,
man.
Schroeder's making more money than him. He signed 5.9,
no.
right? So per year, Kendrick Nunn's making $5 million a year, and he's 26 years old in prime of his career. I'm like, okay. I mean, all those, like, the Players Association, they push for players to get high contract, and then you got situations like this where they're taking less money. I get it. I get, like, why Trevor Ariza would take less money. He's a vet.
Yeah.
He's trying to win a ring. But Kendrick
or
Nunn.
Mello.
Wasn't Kendrick Nunn all rookie, like, 2 years ago? I don't know.
Bad move, but hey, listen, we can't, you know, they can't make him take the most money. He wants to do what he wants to do, and, you know, that's all we can say. So, but speaking of taking less money, it's orange and blue skies time, baby. Woo! I'm coming home. Tell the world. Yeah, I can't do that. That was for Mello, so. I guess I could do like Mace. Welcome back. You know what I mean? Welcome back, right? Kemba Walker. Kemba is in the garden, baby. He's back. I officially signed the contract today. I think it was 2 years, $16 million, I think it was. So, you know, a lot of hoopla made about him turning down or forfeiting $20 million to get the buyout with the Thunder and then kind of making that back up with the Knicks. But it's official. Leon Rose says, you know, they're super excited. He didn't say they're excited. He said they're super excited to have Kemba in the garden. They had a vignette today with Chaz from A Bronx Tale narrating his story of coming to the Knicks. So they're rolling out the red carpet for the $8 million a year point guard. That's clearly the best point guard the Knicks have had since Raymond Felton and probably and maybe the 20 – to 30 game stretch, your boy Jeremy Lin. So I haven't heard from you in weeks, brother. So I'm gonna let you talk about Kemba Walker signing the contract, former UConn star. You know, coming off some injuries, but really still playing at a pretty good level. Signing the contract to come to the Knicks.
So that. I mean, you know me, Kemba Walker is my favorite point guard from the UConn day. He's a legend at UConn. He's up there with the UConn Mount Rushmore. And when they signed Derrick Rose, I was like, okay, they signed him to a pretty big deal. I'm like, but is he going to start? And, like, IQ is going to come off the bench? I was trying to figure out what the Knicks were doing because I was, okay, they got Fournier, so he's going to be the two guard. RJ's going to be the three. I was like, okay, it's starting to shape up. And then this came in, and I was like, wait, what? I was like, because friends of mine know that I always be bashing the Knicks, and a friend of mine says to me, he's like, oh, time for you to be a Knicks fan, right? And I was like, I might have to be officially a Knicks fan now that Kemba Walker's a Knicks.
Yeah, come home,
like,
Alan. Come home, baby.
Don't do that.
Now he's going to be the starting point guard if he's healthy. Like, I was on social media. They're already selling his jersey. I was like, damn, was the ink even dry off his contract? They're selling his jersey already. If he's healthy, I mean, he's going to give him an easy 18 a night, 18 points, 5 assists. And they, like, he doesn't have to play a lot of minutes because he's going to have Rose and IQ behind him. I mean, for 2 years, $18 million or $16 million?
I think it's 16,
it, like,
right?
That's a bargain. I mean, it's just cherry on top after signing Derrick Rose. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I just hope he's healthy. I hope, you know, sometimes when players come home, quote unquote, I hope he doesn't get, you know, sometimes I hope he doesn't get too much home cooking, you know, like, you know, and he starts gaining weight or he has to deal with all his friends and his boys. You know, sometimes that could be a distraction. So hopefully, you know, if it's just strictly basketball, he can focus and put up his 18, 19 points a night. I mean, the Knicks would be okay. They're gonna be. I mean, were they the 5 seed last year or the 4 seed? They're much improved.
They're
much improved.
The 4 seed that got bounced by Atlanta.
Yes. They'll be much improved because last year their point guard was Alfred Payton, which I'm. Kudos to him. He signed a contract with the Suns. He Alfred Payton, talk about Schroeder not being a starting point guard. Alfred Payton is not a starting point guard. So, you know, 90% of Kemba Walker health-wise is better than Alfred Payton starting. So definitely an upgrade for the Knicks there. And I think the Knicks, you know, they upgraded at the two. I like Reggie Bullock, but he's really a bench player too. So they got Fournier. So their starting five coming around. Kemba, Fournier, RJ, Julius, and it looks like it's going to be Mitchell Robinson. So I think they upgraded their starting five by adding Kemba. And, like, I mean, I watch Knicks games just because I like hoop, but now I have more, like, a reason to watch Knicks games because I'm just a big fan of Kemba Walker.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, I love Kemba. You know, and I said it probably last year before he signed with Boston, I was like, I hope to God the Knicks can get him. And it didn't happen, and it kind of broke me. I think, you know, he wanted to go. You know, listen, give him credit. He twice tried to help the Hornets by taking less money to stay there to get a star into Charlotte. The second time he did it, they came way too low. I think it was way under the $74 million that Boston got. I think it was like 50 or something like that. And he said no, and he left and went to Boston. That, you know, gave him more money. Now Boston has egg on their face because they gave that 72 to a guy with knee problems. I think, you know, the Hornets knew something that, you know, everybody else didn't. But, you know, Kemba got his money, and you know, listen, if he's anywhere close to 70%, that's an upgrade. You know, you said Alfred Payton. I call him the point guard who shall remain nameless. He's the third string point guard in Phoenix right now. So, I mean, you know, that's how, you know, how much the mighty has fallen. I mean, to get him in the garden, it just brings the juice up. I can't wait for the season. To your point, listen, we stole Boston's backcourt. The rivalry is like real right now. But, you know, you got two guys that can get their own shot and space the floor, and Kemba and Fournier. I love bringing Rose back at 20 minutes a night. Don't have to overtax him in playoff time. You're just going to mix and match, and it's going to be a dangerous combination. I love everything about it. It's low risk, high reward. If he pays off, it's a win. If he doesn't pay off, yeah, okay. It's $8 million. You can move that contract if you need it, or, you know, just eat it or whatever you want to do. So, it's great for New York.
They're
going to
make
and
it up in Jersey.
Said, like, yeah, absolutely. And like we said, Sirius has said, you know, the East is coming. I think out of everybody in the East, you know, I think every team has done something
at least a playoff team to make sure that they're going to go back into that playoff mode. I think the Nets bringing in Patty Mills. Philadelphia didn't do enough trading Simmons, but bringing in Drummond is a nice get for them. I like what the Bucks did. Rodney Hood and Grayson, I love bringing those two guys in, even though they lost P.J. Tucker. I like what they did. Obviously, the Heat bringing in Tucker and Lowry. I like what they did. The Hawks bringing back Collins, securing that, bringing back Lou Williams, I think is an underrated move too. I like what every team in the East, Chicago, I like what every team has done. It's, you know, even though the Knicks have made a nice little splash, it might look like there's other teams in the East that did a little bit more. So every team is doing something to make themselves viable and get to that playoff run. So the Knicks aren't alone. I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, the East, we kind of talked about it a couple days ago or last week. Every team is kind of doing, you know, their thing and making sure that they get back into the playoff mode. I mean, you know, what do you think about Kemba and then the whole Eastern outlook?
You know, honestly, man, all jokes aside, you know, if there was a team that I really felt that Kemba needed to find a way to, it was the Knicks. You know, the Knicks have been starving for a legitimate point guard, somebody who understands the magnitude of what he plays, somebody who's had significant success in that building, somebody who wants to be there. Like, I understand Julius Randle is enjoying this time, but I've said this on this network and many others. Julius Randle is not a superstar. He is a decent player. But if you get Kemba Walker healthy, this is a guy who literally can average 24-plus a night for you and carry the Knicks and be, you know, a nice complement to what Julius Randle brings in to work alongside of R.J. Barrett and company and get the Knicks back to, you know, significant relevancy, much to my chagrin, because after listening to you two clowns all basketball season talk about it. So with that being said, I did like what, Kemba Walker coming back to the Knicks. Now, with the rest of the Eastern Conference, I said this last week or a couple weeks ago, they're coming. They're coming. I mean, honestly, the Miami Heat were able to do this offseason, bringing in a Kyle Lowry who is a strap-up first type of guy, or a guy who's a legitimate floor general, bringing in a P.J. Tucker who doesn't do nothing but lock up your number one, you know, scoring option and hit timely threes in the corner. His basketball IQ is off the charts, and he's now a champion. You know, you got Jimmy Butler still there. You got Bam Adebayo. You know, I mean, this Miami Heat team is going to be a problem. Obviously, you got the Milwaukee Bucks. Brooklyn, obviously, I think Philadelphia's 76ers are in trouble, in my honest opinion, but that's another conversation I'll say. You know, I think there is going to be a massive shifting. I love what Chicago was doing. I love what Chicago is doing right now. Like, oh, my goodness, Chicago is really going out there and swinging for the fences. I mean, you know, they may not land, you know, in a championship, but they're sure as hell going for it.
Do you think the pieces fit, Sirius? Do you think the pieces in Chicago fit?
I think they can. I think they have the ability to fit now. Obviously, we got to figure out what's going on because, again, you have three guards. Actually, you have four guards. You know, with Lonzo, you have Kobe White there. You go get Caruso, and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know what I'm saying? You got, you know, I don't think he's a ball-dominant guard, but he's more of a
more of a two, maybe a three, or whatever it could be. But, you know, the pieces are there.
Okay.
And I honestly think that if that team's able to come together and figure it out. I tell you what, that's a team that I don't want to see come playoff time. I don't want to see them
come playoff
time.
Okay. I don't see them. Yeah, the Bulls, right?
I don't see. Go ahead, Barry.
No, I don't see DeMar and LaVine as a fit, but I think to your point, I think Lonzo is a great fit because he's a point guard that doesn't need the ball in his hand, so he can just kind of dish it off to LaVine, and you know he's content sitting in the corner. I just don't see the fit with DeMar and LaVine. But
neither do
I. Point, their five is as good as anybody's, right? One through five, with Vucevic and LaVine and DeMar and Ball, and then you know depending on what they want to do at the four, but maybe Valentine or who you know they're not bringing in Markkanen, which is interesting. I wonder where he lands. That's going to be interesting. Maybe Dallas, but I mean you know it'll be interesting where he lands, but. I agree. I do like what Chicago did. I just don't think that's a fit. Alan, what do you think?
I'm looking at DeMar's game, and he's going to be occupying pretty much Vucic's space because Vucic could step out and hit that 15, 18-footer. I know he operates in the post. And then he's going to be clogging up Zach's driving and cutting lanes. I just don't see how it works because DeMar just excels in that right in the like 18 feet in. He's just one-on-one mid post. You know, he'll just shoot the mid range. So I think he's just going to take up a lot of space. So I don't see how that works. But you know, the Bulls management know more than I. I just don't see it because like with Lonzo and Zach LaVine, I see them pushing the ball, right? And then if they get into half-court set, I see them dumping into Vucic. So I just don't – I like – DeMar is not an outstanding, you know, three-point shooter, so he can't really spread the floor for Vucic.
No, he's a mid-range guy.
Yeah, he's a mid-range shooter. But that clogs up Vucic's space, you know, because that's
right,
everything
right.
in the paint and 15 in is Vucic's space. And if that's him in DeMar's space, I just don't see how that's working. So that's just my bit. But yeah, Markkanen is interesting. I hope he signs somewhere. He's another one that bet on himself. So we'll see where he goes.
Well, it's got to be a motion offense. It's got to be a lot of movement, a lot of cutting, and you can't have DeMar standing at the 3-point line because then you're not maximizing his value. To your point, so that's the coach's job. They got to figure out how to make the pieces work, and I think it's got to be a movement, a la. The Warriors kind of motion style offense. So we'll see how they make it work, but they're going to be a fun team to watch either way. Probably the most exciting Bulls team since D Rose was there taking them to the playoffs. So definitely. But I gotta bring up a issue for you, Sirius. I this kind of came across yesterday. I wanted to talk about it. I wish it was yesterday, but day late, dollar short. Summer League obviously popping off. Pistons, Rockets, the matchup of the two top picks in the draft, Cade Cunningham, Jaylen Brown. I want to let you do your thing on this one because we kind of talked about it a little bit on Sunday, but now we got another day and another game to talk. Jaylen Green, wow. I think you guys got the best. I mean, I think Cade's going to be a good player, but I think you got the best player in this draft. Sirius,
yeah.
Please, take it away. Take it away.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you guys, man. I'm trying very, very hard to keep my feet planted. I understand this is summer league. I understand that, you know, seasons out one in summer league, but oh my God, if you take a look at this guy and what he is doing on the basketball floor, it's making the hairs on my arms stand up looking at this right now. It's insane.
Kay Cunningham is one hell of a player. No shade thrown his way, but yo, my man Green is doing right now. Oh my god. Oh my god. Here's the thing, like, I knew he was good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I did my homework, and you know, obviously, for as much you know, podcasting as we do, and you know, sports talk as we do, you got to be intelligent and understanding what's going on. So I did my homework, but what he's able to do on the perimeter, with, you know, creating his own shot, getting to the bucket, finishing with contact, finishing in traffic. He's an assassin from behind the arc. He has a nice first step, his burst, to get inside the lane and do what he needs to do is insane. I'm one happy Rockets fan right now. You know, hopefully the injury bug doesn't bite him. But if you're able to get him and pair him with what we were able to accomplish last year, granted, win the Western Conference, so there's going to be a lot that we're going to have to do to overcome. But, yo, what my man Jalen Green is doing right now is insane, and I cannot wait to see it happen much, much more.
Yeah, I mean, because Cade is struggling a little bit. His first game, you know, I think he hit his first shot and then missed a couple shots after that. You know, had a pretty nice showing yesterday, 20 points on 8 of 18 shooting. You know, but Green would have been maybe a number one pick last year, right? Or at least a top five pick last year, but chose to go to the G League or the D League, or whatever they call it, instead of going to college or for one and done. And I think that's going to be a path a lot of people are going to start taking. Go to the G League, learn how to manage your money, learn how to live that life, and be ready for it. So I think him coming into the Summer League isn't anything new to him. It's kind of just on a little bit of a bigger scale, but he's kind of used to it. And you can see he's much more comfortable than Cade was playing in college last year. I think Cunningham is going to be a good player, but Jaylen Brown just looks way more comfortable. Alan, I don't know if you got a chance to see any of the game or catch any of the highlights, but or what's going on so far in the Summer League, but what do you think about Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green's performance so far in Summer League?
So yeah, I watched that game last night. When I found out that game was on 9 o'clock, I had to tell my wife. I was like, babe, I know you want to watch CNN about all this Cuomo stuff, but I was like, I got to watch these two guys. So what I took from the game was I liked the fact that they both were sticking each other. They weren't
yes,
you know, ducking each other. I liked the fact that they both were sticking each other. And I didn't stay up for the whole game because I couldn't tell my wife that I'm staying up for a whole Summer League game. But I saw the stats, and what I took out of it, I saw the highlights, was so Jalen Green, I told a friend, I said, he's either going to be, his ceiling is going to be Zach LaVine, or he's going to be a bust like Gerald Green. So my hope is that he doesn't become Gerald Green. But, yes, he's doing work in the Summer League, and I don't want to take Summer League too seriously because I'm pretty sure, Barry, you know, Kevin Knox dominated Summer League when he was a rookie. And everyone thought we had the next great one. And Knicks fans were going crazy. So now Knicks fans, you know, they got Obi Toppin's playing good at Summer League. And then that Jericho Sims is playing good. And all these Knicks fans are trying to temper their expectations today because of the Kevin Knox effect. So we're going to name that the Kevin Knox effect. So I don't want to get too excited about Jalen Green, but I think he has a chance to be Zach LaVine because that's why I said his ceiling is Zach LaVine, or he could be a bust. And I think that was what Detroit was trying to figure out when they were trying to figure out, like, do we gamble on Jalen Green? He could be Zach LaVine because I think Kate Cunningham's going to be good. He's going to be a good, solid pro. Like, you know, he's going to give you your 10, 12 seasons. He's going to be solid. But I don't think he's going to be, like, superstar potential. So that's the difference, and I feel like Detroit went with the safer quote unquote pick. You know, he went to college for 1 year. He's quote unquote more polished. But what's interesting is Jalen Green played in the G League with men. Like, I think Jared Jack was on his team, and who else? Amir Johnson was on his team, so he was playing against like old vets. While Cade was playing against college kids, so that's why I think
I actually think Jalen Green has the upper hand in terms of that. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to their matchup in the next coming year. And I'm also excited because, like, you put Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., right? They're going to be in the same backcourt. I'm like, that's like I know today's generation of kids like to watch all those AAU highlights. I feel like the Rockets are going to be like the NBA AAU team with Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. Like, they're going to be highlight central.
That's going to be fun to watch. We may not want to
buy
the
game,
but
it's
going to be fun to watch.
They got that Josh Christopher kid, too. And then they I forget the center that started. What's his name? He was like the 16th pick. I forget his name, but he started at center. He's gonna be decent, too. I'm like, oh, they're going to be a fun team to watch. fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to take a beating a little bit. But they're building something. I think they got picks. They got a nice young player to build around. I think out of the two, if you ask me, and I definitely want to ask you guys, I think Green right now looks like he is the favorite in Vegas to get the Rookie of the Year. From everything I'm seeing so far, there's a lot of good rookies that are coming into the league, but he just looks like he's ready, and he's not going to be fazed. I mean. Serious. I mean, I know you want to temper your expectations, but give me something. Mm-hmm. I know you got a little bit. It's like, I like it. I like what I see out of this kid. He's not afraid. And what I liked about him the most, serious, out of everything he did yesterday, is he hit that three in Cade's face, and then he gave him a look and said something to him. Like, I'm here, baby. Like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like, to me, I think he's a Rookie of the Year candidate.
Well, like I said, I mean, if he's able to stay healthy, and you know, I don't see a better rookie out playing him, because he's going to get the opportunity. Again, the fact that he's played at G League affiliate like he has kind of prepared him, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Barry. You know, when you said that, you know, players are going to maybe, you know, use that. As opposed to institution, because again, you are playing against, you know, grown men. You may be playing against cats who, you know, were sent down from NBA franchises or whatever the case may be, to better their skills. And, you know, iron sharpens iron. So if you're around that, if you have a chance to work out with that, if you are giving these guys buckets, you know, that prepares you for NBA level ball. So I'm excited to see what he has to offer. Again, I'm keeping my feet planted because, again, you know, you're a Knicks fan, you understand, you know, cats who light it up in summer league sometimes don't translate to big boy league. You know, so we'll see what happens with the man, but I love the guy. I love the pick. I can't wait to see what he does. And hopefully he comes on and see he and Kevin Porter Jr., man. It's going to be ESPN SportsCenter highlights a lot, you know, with Houston Rockets doing some stuff, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're not going to get an ESPN game. It'll be highlights, right? Like, you know,
no,
yeah,
it'll
be highlights.
Because
they're not
getting
a game.
You know, we were the worst team in the league last year. They ain't going to want to put us on TV, man. I got to buy the NBA package.
Yeah, I know, exactly. They might be on NBA
on
TV. Yeah, exactly. They might
NBA
get
TV.
NBA TV when they play the Pistons. Maybe, right? But no, I like the kid. I'm excited. I'm excited for him.
TV, man. That's going to be must-see TV. That's going to be on TNT. We're going to see Charles and, you know, Kenny do that one.
Oh, God, that would be terrible. It'll be fun. I can't wait to see that. So I'm very excited for those two coming into
Green's,
the league.
Green's going to have the opportunity to, like, he's going to get his opportunity. He's going to have the red light, the green light to shoot and do his thing. I just think, like, him and Porter are going to probably, they're going to take each other's shots away. So because at first I was thinking Jalen Green's probably going to be like Anthony Edwards. He's going to have a chance to, like, take a lot of shots and score a lot of buckets. And but then I was thinking maybe Cade would have a decent season, but the team would win. But I'm looking at that Pistons roster, I was like, they're not winning anything. So I'm thinking Scottie Barnes could be a sleeper for Rookie of the Year because he's on the Raptors. I think, you know, I think they got I know they lost Kyle Lowry, but I think they have a chance to be they're a better team than the Pistons and the Rockets. And that, you know, if Scottie Barnes puts up good stats, it's like when LaMelo deserved it because the Hornets were winning. But I think Scottie Barnes is going to bring that to the Raptors. They're going to win more than Jalen Green's team and Kay Cunningham's team. So I like what I see from Scottie Barnes.
We'll see. I mean, if he plays well, yeah, he'll definitely have the opportunity out there in Toronto. But right now it's the flavor of the week. So hopefully it stays that way. But you never know. Grimes could get it from the Knicks. Come on, rookie of the year. I'm kidding. That's not happening.
Stop it. Not enough basketball now.
In New York. Yeah, exactly. Not enough basketball. If they play with two basketballs, possibly, but. They only played it one, so I don't know if that's going to happen. But we got 15 minutes left. Callers Cookout. With Sirius, myself, Alan, talking a little basketball, calling number 929-477-2759. I definitely wanted to move off of to football. So, Alan, if you do not want to talk football, I will let you depart. But thank you for hollering. Yeah,
before you guys talk about football, can I just bring up one last basketball thing? I know I was fan of the Heat going into this playoffs. I thought they were going to do work. But for some reason, I'm not ecstatic about that Kyle Lowry signing. I'm really not.
He's
3 years, $90 million. I think he's 34. And we know that there's always been, concerns about his weight. And Miami, they don't play around when it comes to that weight and conditioning. So I'm curious how that's going to work. And, Miami, South Beach, there's basketball and then there's South Beach. So I'm really curious how that's going to work. I'm not sure, $90 million for Kyle Lowry, then they spend $90 million on Duncan Robinson. I get why Duncan Robinson got his money, but now he has a target on his back. People are going to be going after him, how is Duncan Robinson getting $90 million? So I think he's just going to stay the same, and then everyone's going to be like, wait, he's making $90 million to stay the same? Average his 14 points and hit four threes a game. I don't see him taking that next step for a $90 million player to move the Heat into elite level. So I just wanted to bring that up. I'll let you guys talk football because I'm about to hit the bed. Good chatting with y'all, and I'm going to keep watching Summer League. I think the Knicks are on right now, right? I'm about to turn that on.
We're about to get started Knicks tape, so I'm going to watch that a little bit. I think Lowry's a good fit in Miami. I honestly feel he's a veteran guard that, plays defense. I think their defensive lineup is going to be one of the hardest, if not the hardest, to score on in the league. We're talking, the Knicks, Lakers last year, Phillies have got a good they're going to be an elite defensive team at the very least. So I think from that perspective, he's a fit. So, yeah.
The last point was they gave up Precious Achiuwa. And I'm like, wait, I think he's going to be good. If Bam goes out, who's going to be their center? I think losing Precious Achiuwa is going to be one of those moves we should have kept him. Because they basically gave up Precious Achiuwa and Goran Dragic for Kyle Lowry. I don't know about how I feel about that. But I'll let you guys talk your football because I don't know anything about football.
Jimmy Butler fan, he wasn't a fan of that. He was upset that they got rid of both of those. I mean, he understood it, but I just read an article that said Jimmy Butler was frustrated that, those two players were involved in that type of deal.
Precious Achiuwa is going to – I don't know the Raptors roster right now, but he might start for the Raptors. He might put up, 15 and 10. He might put up Bam numbers next year for the Raptors. So I think he's a big loss. But
it's very possible.
I'm going to go check out this next Lakers. You guys talk your football. And, everyone stay cool. Next 2 days going to be blazing.
I love Alex just throws a bomb in the middle of the room. He's like, all right, I'm out. See you later.
You guys don't want me talking football because I'm a Jet fan. I know nothing about football, so you guys don't want me talking football.
Exactly, because you're a Jet fan.
exactly. So that's when I leave it to you guys, and I know when to leave the room.
Yeah, no, leave it on the high note. But, no, thanks for calling it out. We'll definitely I have no love for the Jets. My dad's a Jets fan. I pray for him every day. I think it's the dementia kind of setting in. You know, he just doesn't remember that he used to be a Giant fan. But, you
right.
know, nobody's perfect. But, you know, I love my dad, though. Shout out to Pops. But, listen,
all right.
the real – the all right, thank you, Al. Love you, brother. But I definitely wanted to talk about Prescott because I did. I actually finally got a chance to watch, Hard Knocks. Love watching Hard Knocks. Oh God, it's like when Hard Knocks is on, I know the football season is underway. So, he was dealing with the shoulder problem in the first episode, but then come to find out today that he's going to go through another MRI. On that shoulder, so it might be something a little bit more significant than they thought, maybe just a muscular kind of strain, you know, overthrowing and overdoing it, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're saying it's not a setback and not a reason to worry, but, I mean, 2 weeks of this, I don't want to say panic, but panic! You know what I mean? But, like, I don't know. Serious, what do you think? What do you think about Dak Prescott and this shoulder injury? And do you think it's something to be concerned about in Dallas?
You know, honestly, if I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, y'all know I play fantasy football regularly. I am worried. I'm concerned. You know, this is a guy who, you know, tore a significant part of his leg last year. He has yet to take a regular season snap, and he's, you know, dealing with a shoulder. As a matter of fact, the shoulder injury was so severe that, according to reports, you know, the Dallas Cowboys consulted, you know, the Texas Rangers as to how to handle that, you know what I'm
and
saying?
The Yankees.
You know,
and the Yankees.
And Yankees and some other basketball – this mother football, you know, baseball, good God, I'll get it right. The mother baseball team on how to handle that, you know what I'm saying? So you just don't consult, you know, other sports on how to handle their injuries unless, you know, it's significant. So with that being said, I think that, you know, something is there where there's smoke, there's fire, and unfortunately, I think this is a lot of, you know, covering their behinds. You know, the Dallas Cowboys sunk a great deal of money into Dak Prescott. And so I think at this point, they are trying to leave every stone unturned, everything. They want to examine all options. And in my honest opinion, it wouldn't shock me if, you know, Dak Prescott missed, you know, opening night and, you know, playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It wouldn't shock me if he missed a game or two at the start of the season just to ensure that shoulder, not the leg that he had repaired. We haven't even spoken about that, but the shoulder that he's now dealing with is recovering like they need to, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're right. It's like they invested a lot of money in him. You know, he finally got his bag secured after, you know, he got the franchise tag. They signed him and gave him, what, $126 million guaranteed, gave him a big contract.
Yeah.
You know, so now after all that, now he's got the shoulder injury that, you know, is keeping him out of action. Now, I don't think he was going to see a lot of preseason action to begin with. I think you had to give him a little bit to get him, you know, into game shape and get him back out there so there's, you know, you shake the rust off a little bit. I felt like, to your point, yeah, I mean, we haven't even talked about the ankle, which was a significant injury. You know, it was a gruesome injury that he's trying to come back from. You know, every time he runs out of the pocket, you're holding your breath because you hope that ankle can hold up.
Sure.
And, you know, you want him to kind of feel like my ankle can hold up. He's got to get that out of his mind. You know what I'm saying? So to that point, it's like you don't need another thing to think about. Like, for me, like, listen, I'm a Giants fan. I hope everything goes wrong in Dallas, but – you know, I hate the star. I hate everything, you know, about Dallas Cowboys. You know what I mean? But, you know, Dak's a good guy. Dak's a good guy. And you kind of – you don't root for him as a Giants fan, but you root for him as a person because he is a good guy. And to everything that he's gone through with his brother's suicide, you know, I know, you know, about that. With from personal experience, so you know it affects everybody. And for him to come back from that and to kind of be at the point where he's at right now, you root for a guy like that. So, but to your point, you better be concerned in Dallas. You know, it's you wanted a hero's welcome for a guy coming back off of that injury, and now this. You know what I mean? So. They're saying it's not going to affect them starting week one. I doubt it will, but it might be something that lingers, and it might be something that, you know, we have to keep an eye on. To your point, a lot of fantasy guys look at it and say, uh-oh, should I be drafting this guy as my first overall quarterback? You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be that kind of thing. So before the ankle injury, he was on pace to be an MVP candidate, you know, so will you be able to get that from him? This year, who knows? I mean, there's a lot to be proven in Dallas from him. Dak Prescott's got a lot to prove. I mean, we're talking about Ezekiel Elliott has a lot to prove. That offensive line has to prove they can stay healthy. It's a lot of ifs now in Dallas. You know, it's a lot of ifs with the quarterback. It's ifs with the running back. It's if the offensive line, if the defensive coordinator and Quinn can get it going, if Parsons can, you know, project the way he's supposed to be. If, you know what I mean? So, you know, do I think Dallas is a Super Bowl team? Absolutely not. They have talent, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. But, you know, their chances are a lot better when Dak's on the field. So we'll see how that goes. We're almost done here. I wanted to get a little bit more football, and we just never get enough time, serious. You know, we had the injuries in Baltimore with their number one pick with the wide receiver. You know, that could be a crusher. You know, they bet on not going after Julio Jones because they got this kid in what's his name?
Bateman.
They thought that he was going to be that guy. They didn't need to go after Julio, and now he's got an absence that's going to be a couple weeks. So hopefully that works out. Carson Wentz trending to start week one. Okay, great. See you out there, buddy. I mean, anything else stood out to you for football, and then we're gonna close it up here.
You know, honestly, man. I mean, we got minor bumps and bruises associated with play as far as injuries are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, honestly, man, I'm just ready to see this thing. You know, like this candle, man. You know, the Hall of Fame game is nice. You know, luckily, my boys were planning that game, but ultimately, this is the week where this candle gets lit. You know, there's so many question marks surrounding, you know, this National Football League. You know, how much is Aaron Rodgers, you know, going to play nice? Is this honestly his last season? This Deshaun Watson saga is in freaking sane.
That's not going away.
I don't think it's going away. And according to what I'm looking at right now, neither is Deshaun Watson as he shows up in Texas training camp and takes reps and, you know, does his thing after wanting to be traded. And, you know, the whole, you know, allegation situation that he's having to deal with and ownership coming out talking about, you know, how they're not going to trade him, but he's not going to play during preseason and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, boy,
It's just
he's
so gotta, much.
He's got to show up. He's got to show up. He's got kids to feed.
You got kids to feed, you know what I'm saying? You know,
I got five kids.
Facts. The New York Giants, you know, Saquon Barkley being activated off the PUP list.
Yes.
Kenny Galladay, you know, battling, a turf toe. I mean, like I said, there is so much that we can unpack right now.
Yeah, I know.
The start of this preseason is just insane, man. But I'm excited for it all. You know, man, I wish everybody the best of luck and health as they try to secure spots on organizations and everything, man. It's going to be fun to watch, man. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, just to kind of recap that, listen, Xavien Howard got the bag. He got a little bit extra money. They gave him like almost $4 million in incentives on top of his salary. So now he can earn a max of about $16 million per year. And then they waived the fines for him skipping minicamp. So basically he talked his talk, but the Dolphins took care of their guy, and I'm happy that they did that. So he's back in the fold, nothing to report there. I mean, you know, we talked about it a little bit that he wasn't happy. That was one of the off-season moves, off-season no-shows that kind of stood out. But, you know, he's going to be in the fold. So good for him, good guy. Like you said, Saquon on target for week one after, you know, they said he might not take a rep and might not be ready. Made you look like Nas. Who they shooting? Made you look. But he'll be ready to go. It looks like
a cage in my wild book.
exactly. So, you know, a lot of good things going on. So we'll definitely get into some football talk probably a little bit more next week. You know, we had to wrap up some basketball and stuff, but we'll definitely get into it next week with the full cast. Did you have any shout outs you wanted to do, Sirius, before we get out of here, brother?
You know, let me do this, man. Shout out to everybody who's been rocking with us, man. Shout out to the homie TP who's on vacation. Big Easy, we missed you today, man. Shout out to you, man. I hope you and the family are doing well, man. I'm going to say this and I'm going to get out the way, man. You know, life is short, you know, but you got to do what you got to do to protect those that you love. Again, I urge everybody out there, you know, do your research, because if you can, let's get this vaccine and, you know, do what we need to do to stop the spread, man. I had a friend of mine fall over dead today. I had a friend of mine who I was speaking to yesterday, you know, not make it out of today because of this thing. So, man, it's tough. You know, shout out to the Mosley family. You know, I love and appreciate y'all, and, you know, I wish I had words. I wish I had words, man. With that being said, y'all be safe, man. We'll catch up to you guys on the next one.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Be safe out there, Sirius, you know, and prayers to you. Shout out to everybody, all the chefs that make this thing possible. You know, Mark from the barbershop, Big E, Eric, Steve, Dave, and Nate tomorrow. Listen to them on the Baseball Buffet. We got Rodri and James, NFL free-for-all on Mondays, the timeless Sunday brunch. Get to that on Sunday. Shout-out to the big homie himself, TP Timeless, the big brother. You know, much love to him. Enjoying himself out there in Vegas. So, you know, listen, just you never know the day or the hour. So hug your family tight and make sure you cherish them. So with that being said, make sure you get to the website, sportscitychefs.com. Get listen to all the shows we have on all streaming devices. Say Alexa, play Sports City Chefs. She'll do it. But, hey, listen, Alexa, stop. See, that's how you do it. But listen, we're on all those devices. You know, we're on the website, the blogs, the interviews. Shout out to the boys at the clubhouse, at the barbershop as well. So we're doing a lot of big things. But like we always say, tell a friend to tell a friend. It's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, chefs. Sports City, chefs. Sports City, chefs. Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.